Mark 4, verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord, and we trust that God will always bless the reading of his word. As Christians, we know that God has work for us to do. God doesn't want us to just get our ticket to heaven and then sit on the bus and wait for it to leave. No, now that we've been saved by grace, he's got work for us to be getting on with. And perhaps the clearest place in the Bible we see that call to work is the Great Commission, isn't it? Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So God is very clear in his word that he wants us to get on with the work of making disciples, the work of building up his church. We're to go on mission to the lost, we're to work for the maturity of the found. But what we're going to see this morning is, how are we supposed to do that? How are we to carry out the work God has given us to do? I'm sure most of you will either be working or will have worked at some point. And so you'll be well aware that knowing your job description is very important, isn't it? If we don't know our job description, we can fail to do our job properly because we're not exactly sure what needs to be done. We can end up getting stressed out about things in our jobs that we weren't really asked to do in the first place. Or we can even get demotivated because we don't see how the work we're doing fits into the agenda or the aims of the organization as a whole. And as we look at Mark 4, we're going to see in a nutshell what our job description actually is. How our master wants us to go about the work. And as well as that, we're going to see, just like a job description, how that work we're called to do fits into God's plans and his purposes, and how that should motivate us. So far, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been teaching about what determines whether someone is inside or outside the kingdom of God. In the parable of the sower, Jesus has been teaching that those outside the kingdom are those who stop listening to his words, those who fail to receive God's word in their hearts in a way that produces lasting, ongoing change. On the other hand, those who are inside the kingdom are those who keep on listening and keep on responding to God's word, who keep on allowing it to bear fruit in their lives. In the passage we read this morning, Jesus is still sticking with the seed imagery. But instead of emphasizing how the seed is received or how we listen to the word, now the emphasis has shifted to how the seed itself actually grows. Jesus is teaching that the kingdom of God will be extended throughout the whole world as the seed of the gospel is scattered. That's the work he's doing in this world. His global agenda is to advance the kingdom of God through his word. So as we look at this passage, we're going to look at first at what God calls us to do to play our part in that, and then we're going to look at two incentives that Christ gives us for why we should want to be involved. So our first point, God invites us to scatter seed. God invites us to scatter seed. Look with me again to verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Now we know from the parable of the sower that comes before that the seed is God's word, okay? It's the message of the gospel, the truth that the apostles heard from the mouth of Jesus, the same truth that the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write down for us. But there's a couple of things that are different in this parable. In the parable of the sower was Jesus. But now Jesus has shifted his emphasis a little bit. Now it's just a man who is scattering seed. In fact, the Greek word is ambiguous. This could be a man or a woman. It just means a person, a human being. Jesus is no longer referring to the sowing that he is personally doing. Now he's talking about what he will do through his disciples as they share the gospel. And ultimately us as well as we share it. We are the ones sowing now. But there's another difference from the parable of the sower. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So this man is not sowing, he's scattering. I want you to imagine you have a big bag of seed, okay? And you open your patio door, you go out into your back garden, you dip your hand into the bag, you grab a handful of seeds, and then you just launch the seeds into the air, into your back garden. That's what this man is doing in this passage. His strategy is just to propel the seed, okay? He's just doing something that anyone can do. Anyone can scatter some seed. It's not something that necessarily requires a lot of skill or training to do. He didn't go to the farmer college to learn how to do it. He just put his hand in the bag and threw it into his garden. It's not something that makes you look particularly impressive while you're doing it. And this picture of scattering encapsulates what we bring to the table in God's plan to bring people from all over the earth into his kingdom. God wants us to scatter seed. That's how we carry out the work he has for us to do. He wants us to scatter his word into the lives of people around us. He's not asking us to do anything super impressive. And whilst training for gospel ministry is vital, don't get me wrong, this is not a task that is exclusively reserved for those who have been trained. At whatever level we do it, God wants us to scatter seed. And it's really important that we do scatter seed. As we're going to see in a minute, people aren't saved and brought into the kingdom of God because of what we do, but in God's sovereign plan, he's determined that people won't be saved and they won't be transferred into his kingdom unless his people share the gospel, unless the church is scattering the seed God has given them to scatter, unless we're fulfilling the role that God has given us to do. So what does that actually look like for us? What does this look like on, you know, the six other days that we have in our weeks? Well, it looks like parents and grandparents scattering the seed of God's word into the hearts of their children and grandchildren as they read Bible stories or devotions, and then living out what God's word says in front of them. It looks like building relationships with our colleagues, our classmates, our neighbours, and then taking opportunities as they present themselves to explain the gospel to them. If there's an excuse to buy a present for someone in your life who's not a Christian, or there's an excuse to help them practically, we take it, and we build that relationship, and we look for opportunities to ask them if they want to find out more about what we believe, or we invite them to come to a service like what we've been I've heard about this morning, which sounds great. Invite them to come to an event where they'll hear the gospel. Scattering seed looks like serving your local church, whether it's teaching Sunday school or a Bible class or leading at a youth club, or whether it's, you know, making sure the service gets recorded, making sure the building the word is proclaimed in stays warm and comfortable. It looks like being prepared to be brave, try and move conversations to spiritual things with the people who cut our hair, or we play five-a-side with, or someone in your Pilates class, I don't know, whatever it is you do. Wherever it is you rub shoulders with people, scattering seed is something that everyone is called to do, and it's something that anyone can do. So I suppose the question for you this morning is, are you scattering seed? We have nothing to lose, but the people in our lives have everything to gain, don't they? There's always going to be opportunities that we miss. We're not going to always look impressive in the eyes of the world. And the parable of the sower makes it really clear that we're always going to get different responses. Some hearts will be hard soil. They'll reject the word. They'll shut you down immediately. Some seed will land on shallow soil or thorny ground. And they will listen for a while, but ultimately they'll fall away because of the costs involved or because they get diverted by worldly distractions. But some seed will land on good soil. They will hear the word and believe, and the seed you scattered will go on bearing more and more fruit in their lives, and the kingdom will grow. They'll be brought into God's eternal kingdom and they'll be saved. And that leads us really on to our second point, and the first incentive that Jesus gives us here to scatter seed. We can take up God's invitation to scatter seed with the confidence that it will work, because God promises to provide the growth. God promises to provide the growth. I want you to look with me again to verse 27 to 29. After the man has scattered the seed on the ground, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. The man scatters the seeds, and then he rests. He has nothing else to do with the growth. He knows not how it grows. The seed grows by itself. I remember growing up, there was one summer my family went on holiday for a couple of weeks, and a few days before we left, my mum took this random notion to plant a few sunflower seeds in the field beside our house. And we went on holiday. We completely forgot about them. Not once did we think about them. You know, oh, I wonder if our sunflowers have grown. We weren't there. No one was looking after the seeds. No one was watering them. But I'll never forget, we came back from our holiday. We came into our yard, and straight away we just noticed these massive sunflowers. And we were just totally surprised, because while we were away, they had begun to grow. And after 2 or 3 weeks, they were several feet tall. And for the rest of the summer, just left them. They just kept growing and growing on their own. By the end of the summer, like, some of the tallest ones were like 10 or 11 feet. They were ginormous. My mum was involved in the sunflowers growing. Okay, she planted the seeds. But what happened to them had nothing to do with any of us. The seeds just grew on their own over time. But, you know, should we really have been surprised? What else would you expect to happen when you put a seed in the ground? You know, if you plant seeds, you would be surprised that they don't grow. And the point Jesus is making in this parable is that just like we didn't make those sunflowers grow, just like no one can make any seed they plant grow, we are unable to grow the seed in the hearts of the people who hear the gospel. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't expect to see growth. We can be confident that as we scatter seed in people's lives, that God will provide the growth. It's God's word that does the work. It's work that's impossible for us, but not for him. But how is God's word able to do the work? Let's think about this for a little minute. Well, when God spoke the world into existence at creation, his spirit was there ready with the power needed to accomplish God's words. In the same way, when God's word is scattered today, his Holy Spirit goes with it to accomplish it. When God calls Jeremiah to preach in Jeremiah chapter 1, he tells him, I am watching over my word to perform it. In Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11, God says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul tells the Christians in Thessalonica, you went through 1 Thessalonians, didn't you? So you'll know this. Paul told the Christians that their gospel came to them not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. God's word does the work because, as Hebrews 4 tells us, it is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It is God's personal communication to us, inspired by his Holy Spirit. And therefore, as it goes out, it goes with the power of his Holy Spirit to produce the results that God wants. God has invested his power in his word. By the power of his Holy Spirit, God grows the seed of his word in the hearts of those who are being called into his kingdom. Now, that growth may not happen overnight. There is time involved in this parable, isn't there? The man sleeps and rises night and day before he sees a crop. And when he does see a crop, the growth comes in stages, doesn't it? First there is the blade, then there is the ear, then the full grain in the ear, and then there is a harvest. The sunflowers in our field didn't spring up to 10 feet the day after we left. It took all summer for them to grow. When we sow the seed of the gospel, there might not be immediate results, but that doesn't mean that God isn't at work. Maybe you're discouraged this morning because you've been sowing seed, but you're not seeing results as quickly as you'd like. Maybe you faithfully seeded your children with the gospel, but they're not all walking with the Lord yet. Or maybe you've been witnessing to a colleague or a neighbor for years, but they still just shut you down whenever you try to talk about Jesus or Christianity. In the parable, the man scatters the seed, and then he sleeps, and then he rests. He waits for the seed to do the work. Having friends and family who don't know Jesus is really hard. I think probably the hardest thing. It's heartbreaking, and we all do know what that feels like. But God doesn't want us to put unrealistic pressure on ourselves. He doesn't want us to be weighed down by guilt. He calls us to scatter the seeds in the lives of those people as much as we are able to, and then to rest in him, trusting that he is the one who provides the growth. It might take a long time, it might not seem to be happening, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. God is always able to provide the growth. Or maybe you're discouraged this morning because you aren't seeing fruit in an area of your life. You just can't seem to shake a particular thought pattern or a particular habit. You keep returning to the same sins over and over again, and really you're plagued by guilt and shame. Don't give up scattering God's word in your own heart. God's word bears fruit gradually, little by little, stage by stage, until the day we are perfected in Christ. Give God's word time to work in you. 1 Thessalonians 2 reminds us that God's word is at work in believers. God's word is actively working in us over time. As Paul told the Philippians, God promises that when we give his word time and space to change us, he will bring to completion the good work he began in us. He will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So don't give up. If that's you this morning, don't give up scattering God's word in your own heart. Get back into your Bible. God has promised that as we read it, we will grow by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. God has invested his word with the power of his Spirit. What do these verses mean corporately? What do they mean for a church? Well, they tell us that we're not to give up or to depart from our mission to scatter the seed of the gospel. They teach us that all ministry should be word ministry because God has invested his power in his word. It's God's word that grows his church. Musicians help build the church because they pick songs that help us to grasp truth about God and respond to it appropriately. Practical ministries in the community, they're great, aren't they? They're necessary to obey God's command, to care for the poor and the oppressed in society, and that's very important. But the reason for them is ultimately because they provide opportunities to scatter the seed of God's word into people's hearts, which is their greatest need, isn't it? When churches think about, you know, how are we going to steward the resources that God has given us? Word ministry is always the best investment. When we're deciding who to support in cross-cultural mission, we should be looking for people who are committed to word ministry and planting churches that keep God's word at the center. Or people who translate the Bible into other languages. When we're deciding, you know, who are we going to support in training, and we should support people who are training in Bible handling. People who are preparing for gospel ministry, people who want to use their gifts more effectively to grow the church with God's word. And everything a church does, every time the church meets, God's word is to be central. Because that's where God's invested his power. We need to keep believing that God's word does the work. We need to keep making sure that as the years go on, we don't ever lose our confidence in God's word to get the work done. We don't go off after other methods that maybe seem really trendy right now, but they aren't invested with the power of God. So God wants us to scatter seed. He promises that as we do, that he will provide the growth. Jesus gives us one more incentive in the second parable in this passage, and that's our third point this morning. God produces an incomparable organism. God produces an incomparable organism. Look with me again to verse 30 to 32. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The point Jesus is making is that the seed of the gospel looks so small. It looks insignificant, but from that seed, God produces an incomparable organism. The gospel produces a plant larger than all the other garden plants, a tree with branches that are so large that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The disciples needed to hear that then, and we need to hear that now. You know, no one would have looked at the disciples and thought, you know, yeah, absolutely, these guys, they're going to change the world. You know, they weren't exactly an impressive bunch of people. They had very little resources. They had no political power. They weren't eloquent or well-educated. They weren't exactly the guys that you'd pick for the form of young global leaders. But God used them. And specifically, he used their proclamation of the gospel to start his church, the body of Christ that has grown throughout the centuries. This living organism that is still growing today as the gospel is proclaimed. In the eyes of the world, there is nothing impressive or significant about the gospel. We preach that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was crucified on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. We preach that he freely offers mercy and grace, not to those who think they've earned it, but to those who would come to him like a little child, humbly confessing their sin and asking for forgiveness. That is not an impressive message, but that gospel has been changing the world. It's been bringing millions of people all throughout history into the kingdom of God and into the embassy of that kingdom on earth, the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, there's been a little bit of ink spilt over what the birds in this parable are supposed to represent. Some say they represent Satan, because the birds in the parable of the sower were representing Satan snatching the word away. But that doesn't translate into this parable. That doesn't make sense. Some say the birds are just part of the story. I mean, nothing particularly significant. And that might be the case. But I think the most convincing argument is that these birds represent the nations. There's a few times in the Old Testament where a picture of a great tree is used to describe a great empire. And birds are said to be resting on the branches. And each time we see that, we're told these birds represent the nations of the earth. So for example, the one that most easily comes to mind is Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar dreamt of a great tree providing shade to birds, and Daniel interpreted that as Nebuchadnezzar's dominion over the nations of the earth. So in effect, Jesus is saying that people from all the nations are going to be found in this living structure. People from every tribe and tongue will be part of this living organism that nothing else on earth can compare to. People from all over the world will find rest. They will find shade in the church of Jesus Christ. The church might look weak in the eyes of the world. Our message might be scoffed at. It might be written off as insignificant. But they don't realize that we are part of a living structure, an organism that cannot be compared with anything else. We are part of the greatest thing that any human being can be a part of, the only eternal thing that human beings can be a part of, because on the day of Christ's return, the whole world will know that the head of this body, Jesus Christ, reigns over all. The whole world will know that Christ's power, his glory, his majesty surpasses that of any of the kings or the kingdoms of this earth. And only those who are part of this living organism, this body, will go on living with Christ in his kingdom for all eternity. How's that for an incentive to scatter seeds? Does that not motivate us to share the gospel? God invites us to play our part in the growth of an incomparable living organism. A body of believers, a living structure that will stand for all eternity. What else would you want to live out your days doing? No organization, no institution, no kingdom on earth compares to what God is growing by his word. As an embassy of God's kingdom here in beautiful Newcastle, be people who scatter seed. Be people who offer out the shade provided by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the eternal rest that is available to all those who are part of his church. offer shade to the people you know who are being scorched by life out in the open, out in the heat without the comfort of knowing Christ. Offer shade to the people who are under the searing heat of the prospect of a lost eternity. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, come this morning, come and find shelter from God's judgment over sin. There is shade in the branches of his kingdom. Come and find rest for your soul. God offers you eternal peace, eternal rest to all those who would call upon the name of Jesus Christ. To all those who believe in him, that he died as a sacrifice for our sins, that he bore the punishment we deserved on the cross, and then he reckoned his sinless life to our account. To those who believe that he rose again from the dead, defeating death itself, that all those who believe in him will live forever too. As you hear his words, believe in him this morning. Repent of your sin and seek God's forgiveness. Stop living in rebellion. Live in allegiance to the true King of the universe. And if you do, you will be part of this incomparable organism, this living structure that will stand forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are extending your kingdom on this earth using the seed of the gospel. Thank you that you have given us a role in scattering that seed in the lives of the people around us. And this morning, Lord, we ask that you would help us to do that. You would give us boldness and courage. Help us to remember what's at stake. And Father, for the people who we have shared the gospel with, who have not yet come to know you, Lord, we pray that you would activate that seed. We know that you're able to provide the growth. And we ask, Father, that you would bring prodigals home. And we pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to respond to God's word now.